This is Red Ice Radio, a beacon of sanity from Northern Europe. RedIceCreations.com.
Welcome everyone, I hope you had a good week. Thank you for being here today. This is Red Ice Radio, I'm Henrik, and we are coming to you from Scandinavia, Northern Europe, close to the 60th parallel north. And it's getting colder now, as we're quickly approaching the 21st of December, the winter solstice 2012. RedIceCreations.com, RedIceMembers.com, and also RedIceMobile.com, our websites. We have a YouTube channel, Facebook page, Twitter account, and RSS feeds. There's a number of ways that you can follow our news and, of course, listen to our radio program dedicated to educate, inform, and encourage you to think for yourself and question everything. Sterling Allen is the primary driving force behind Pure Energy Systems Network, PESN.com, and FreeEnergyNews.com. He is the CEO of PESN, the premier news directory and networking service, whose mission it is to find and facilitate the best exotic free energy technologies. It's aided by the New Energy Congress, which Sterling founded in 2005 as an association of energy professionals from around the world who review the most promising claims to existing and up-and-coming breakthrough energy technologies that are clean, renewable, affordable, reliable, easy to implement, safe, and legitimate. So, Sterling returns today for an update on his recent trip over to Europe, and we're going to talk about the constantly updated and changing list of the top five exotic free energy technologies. These are the ones that are, according to PESN, closest to market. And there have been some significant changes, new information, and new claims made. So stay with us to get the latest on this. Welcome back to Red Ice Radio, Sterling. You've just come back from a trip to Europe in away for almost a month, I think, not quite, looking at new developing technologies over on this end. And I hope you had a good trip, of course, and we're looking forward to talking more about this and many of the other things you've been monitoring and watching lately. So thanks for coming back on again, Sterling. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to share with your audience, which is based primarily in Europe, to tell them about some of the exciting things happening in Europe. I would say that on the world scene, Europe has the highest per capita concentration of breakthrough clean energy technologies of anywhere on the planet. And so I take my hat off to Europeans for that. There are quite a few elsewhere in the planet, but not on the same concentration per capita basis.
All right. That's good to know. I hope we can see something coming out here. And I mean, basically, we can begin wherever you feel is pertinent to begin here, Sterling. If you want to begin with the most exciting, or if you want to have that as a run-up list kind of thing, I can leave that to you in this case. But give us an overview here of what some of the things you saw. And I know you're going to head back again to Europe here at a later date. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, give us your overall approach and an outline of where you went and what you saw, Sterling.
Okay. Maybe if we could even step back a little bit further for any newcomers. I know most of your audience are repeat visitors, and that's great. I really have had great reactions from our previous appearances on your show, by the way.
That's great.
You do an excellent program. But just for people who are maybe new to the subject, I've been covering free energy technologies for about a decade, full-time, as in every waking hour. When I say free energy, I'm talking about energy sources that are given freely from nature. Solar is free, wind is free, geothermal is free, but I focus on technologies that are more exotic, things that maybe make the college professor scratch his head and say, well, I thought that was impossible. And when we hear of a working technology, a working prototype, that's when we start getting interested. And we're not tied to the laws of physics as they're known. We're more than happy to see the laws of physics broken and the books be rewritten. In fact, that's what really turns us on, is to see things come from outside of the mainstream. And these are technologies that are not only would be clean, but would be affordable.
Yeah.
So a solar panel takes, 20, 30 years to get a return on investment, wind turbine between 5 and 15 years. But these technologies would have like a 2 to 5 year return on investment, where everything after that is just maybe very low maintenance costs. And other than that, it's basically free energy on a very real sense after the capital costs are recouped. Being able to run your vehicle on a free energy technology, your appliances, your cell phones, your all of your gadgets. That is the world that we're tracking. And so in this course of looking for the best exotic free energy technologies, I had started a listing called the top5energy.com without the, so top5energy.com will take you to our listing at our PezWiki site, where we have directory pages on topics and on technologies, inventors, and our daily news service from, covering things from around the world. This is a world issue, and we have no boundaries of what we will or will not cover. We're glad to cover any breakthroughs wherever they exist. Yep. And try and do some due diligence and some vetting to find out how real they are, how breakthrough they are, how much of a difference they can make. And our top five listing basically features those technologies that are closest to market, that are most likely to show up where you can buy these things to run your house, run your car, run your appliances, etc. And unfortunately, right now, I don't know of any technologies that are available of the free energy ilk that you can actually go buy one right now. But of the top five end runners up, every one of the top 10, I would say, are within 2 years easily, and many of them much closer than that, 1 year, a few months in some cases, and number one could even be a few weeks away from deployment. Hmm. And we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So my trip to Europe was titled, I had a little page on my website while I was over there saying, Scouting for Exotic Free Energy Technologies in Europe. Of course, I knew of some I wanted to go see, but I also kind of left it open to see if maybe what might come out of the woodwork. And I was able to visit, like I said, about 4 or 5 technologies, and had email and phone conversation dialogue with 3 or 4 others that are very promising. And so rather than kind of cover all of the top five, I would like to focus on the European technologies, kind of as a special for your audience being based in Europe, to see what's there in your own backyard, so to speak.
Yep.
And I also, you know, when we get a few minutes, would like to also mention there's an upcoming conference November 9th through 11th in Holland called the Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. The website is globalbem.com. That stands for Breakthrough Energy Movement. So globalbem.com. Highly recommend that you go to that. I'm going to be speaking there. Basically the Tesla Tech Conference of Europe. And we can maybe review some of the things that are going to be there. There's some really exciting things coming down there. So I'd highly encourage anyone who's listening to this program and is halfway interested in what we're talking about, considering showing up and being able to get rub shoulders with some of the other players in the sector, hear some of the presentations in depth, and maybe even see one or two technologies that might be on display.
Absolutely. Good idea. Jerome, our friend over there, is doing a great job. We visited his conference last year on the Secret Space program. So this one, I think, will be as good as that. So I definitely recommend it. I'm not going to be able to be there personally this time, but I know it's going to be a good event. So we'll make sure to mention that again and give out the website again for that later, Sterling.
Okay. So should we could go chronologically, or we could go through the top 10 listing going from the top down or from the bottom up. I really don't have any preferences, though. It would be kind of fun to leave the best for last, so that those
I think we should do that.
Paid
yeah.
subscribers are getting the benefit of their nickel.
Sounds like a good idea, Sterling. Let's do that, and we get the most exciting for last. We'll say we'll do it like such.
Let's start out with from the bottom of the list. If you go to top5energy.com, and you can use either the number or the spelling, the letter five. For top5energy.com, we both of them forward to this destination. While I was there, this one will be higher in the list once it's fully validated. There's a company called Luxury C in France, and they have a $250,000 boat that they've been selling, as far as I understand. I did a story about them back in December 17, 2011. It's a boat that runs on water. And of course, in this case, we're talking about the fuel. So you never run out of fuel because you're riding on your fuel. And that sounds about as, I guess, heretical as you can get from a known physics point of view. But I can tell you there are a lot of people chasing water as fuel. And what happens in making, turning water into fuel is not that you're just splitting water and hydrogen and oxygen and making the gas to burn. Or something else that shows up in the process. You're getting zero-point energy or some other exotic phenomena showing up in the process of electrolyzing and recombining the hydrogen and the oxygen. You get very high-power species. And actually, one of the presentations at the conference is going to be about how this works from a theoretical point of view. Very convincing argument about the science behind why you can turn water into fuel.
And this doesn't have to be like fresh water. This you can be out on the ocean and taking salt water. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this company actually, when I was on my trip, I was visiting with Nicolas Chavin, who lives in Lausanne, there in Switzerland, where the tokamak reactor is, one of the dozen or so on the planet. He actually has an office there, and we'll talk a little bit more about him a little bit later.
Yeah.
But he said he saw on French television this company was actually featured not too long ago, talking about their technology. And when I first heard about this in the news, I sent them an email. I said, do you mean to say that you are running on your fuel and that you basically never run out of fuel because the fuel is right underneath you? And they wrote back with a simple yes.
Hmm.
So while I was over there, that was one of the destinations I wanted to go check them out. And I should also mention one of the reasons that I want to go check out these technologies in a kind of a pre-screening manner is I have been invited to be the host for a new reality show called Free Energy Quest, where they would basically follow me around in the quest for free energy. Trying to find real technologies and tracking what's real, what's not, and kind of being with us as we meet with the inventors, see the technologies, check them out, and we'll have a skeptic with us, Mark Danzy, who's doesn't believe in this stuff like I do. He disbelieves first, and then after the evidence, he might believe later. Whereas if somebody tells a good story about a working technology, I give them the benefit of the doubt, innocent until proven guilty. Go check it out and then look at the data. And if it checks out, then, you know, wonderful. If it doesn't, then they get, you know, bopped off of our features and get exposed either as a bogus technology, bogus claim, or worse yet, as fraudulent. Mm-hmm. And there are a few frauds floating around.
So was that, yep.
So I wanted to go check out Luxury C. Unfortunately, right now, they have an exclusive agreement with the person who is financing their operation, and they don't want any media coverage until about February of next year.
They said
maybe at that time you could come in.
Okay. And so this is just because it's still under development, or what's the reason for the delay, do you know?
I think because they are in process of rolling out their manufacturing setup, and they want to have an exclusive relationship, I guess, with the amount of money that they've put up with the company. They don't want licensees coming in. They don't want customers coming in. They basically want to fly under the radar quietly until they're ready to make their big splash announcement. And with that time, we would be welcome to come in and do the show.
Mm. Well, this is a pretty amazing thing if it's true. This should be already, you've linked up some of the stories, you know, some of the magazines, online magazines that have covered some of this. But, I mean, this should be number one news at this moment in time, considering the situation we're at, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And the thing you realize is that in mainstream media, they rarely give any coverage whatsoever to any of these exotic technologies. And if they do, it's a smattering here or there with a good healthy dose of skepticism And it's kind of, generally speaking, it might be a local coverage that's not nearly as a kind of lapdog, what would you call it, propaganda tool of the mainstream media typically is. Some of the local outlets are not as controlled as the mainstream national types of coverages are.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the ilk of was of the TV, French TV that covered this not too long ago. But from what I understand, they have had limited coverage. But I agree with you. The world's attention should be on this like it was on Cold Fusion.
For sure.
To a certain extent, I'm glad it's not, because when you put that much of a spotlight on something, it's very hard to function. The number of inquiries that you get, the level of skepticism that comes up, it's almost better that you can kind of inch your way until you're fully ready. And then when you've got product and you've got thousands, if not millions of products ready to go, then you make your announcement. That probably makes a little more sense.
Yeah, it could kind of stunt the development a little bit if they would have to shift their focus and only deal with the media at that point and try to answer all these questions. But I mean, again, just bring it back to perspective here, a 70 miles per hour hydrogen powered motorboat. And this is not a powerful, pretty powerful boat, and it goes pretty fast as well. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, they've got a video of it running. It's a nice looking boat too.
It sure is. Yeah. Wow.
It's fitting of the name Luxury Sea, and obviously the applications for this would be more than just motorboating and ocean craft. It would also be suitable for a generator, a genset running on water, powering a house, powering a community, etc. So
yeah,
they're just focusing on one niche to get their foot in the door, so to speak, and then expanding from there. And that's fairly typical. You'll see that with another technology we'll be talking about.
Now, another question following on here from that: could there be any hook to this? Any where along the line where they reveal that it's something else? I mean, don't know what that would be, but let's say that this is just an initial marketing gimmick or something like that, and it actually still needs a certain amount of fuel to be able to do the process that it's doing. Do you think something like that could come up along the way here?
If it did, then it would be a misrepresentation of the question that I asked, which was, could you run indefinitely on this because you're running on your water, on your fuel source? And they said yes, which means that they are running on water as a primary consumptive, and they would never run out because water, their process is able to basically keep up with their movement. It's fuel on demand because they're running on their fuel.
Yeah. All right.
And so if it is the case that there's something else going on, it would be an example of overselling and under-delivering as opposed to the other way around, which is the recommended course, is you undersell and over-deliver.
Right. They would shoot themselves in the foot pretty hard if they indeed went out with this claim. But we'll follow the story, as you will, Sterling, as well, and we'll see how this develops. And February, you said, that's probably when there's going to be more news about this then.
Right.
Okay.
And you should go to the store. You'll be able to see their literature. They've got brochures you can download. You can see their website. They've got a really nice website, great video. So you can see where they're located on the coast of France, on the northern end of France. Moving up in the list is Kesh. They're in Belgium.
Yeah.
And I was able to visit them. That was the last stop in Europe before I came back to the States and had a couple of more stops on my way home. But that's not really for this coverage of talking about Europe technologies. Kesh is a really amazing claim. It's so amazing that if it was real, they would be in number one spot. And we're still trying to just get a feel for how real it is. While I was there, he showed me a technology, which is a very, I would say, unsexy version of their claim. And I'll tell you what I saw, and then I'll tell you what they claim. Mm-hmm. And this is not like, you know, this was their big demonstration. It was kind of like an incidental, oh, by the way, check this out. While I was talking to Mr. Keshe in his office doing a little interview, he pulled out a little flashlight that had a clear cover on it. You could see there's no battery, no capacitors in there, just a circuit. And he turned it on, and it lit. And he said that it would run indefinitely. It would never run out of fuel because it's pulling energy from the surroundings. That's pretty cool. And that alone is a great product. Obviously, that would sell. I want one. And I would imagine everyone else would want a flashlight. You'd never have to turn. I mean, you don't have to worry about the batteries because it's pulling energy from the surroundings. You could obviously scale that up and light your room, light your house. The most obvious application would be camping and any time you need a flashlight in your car for emergencies or whatever. You wouldn't have to worry about it not running because there's no such thing as battery storage in the system. So he did demonstrate that to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in a time frame where I could rule out the possibility that it was a short-term effect. Obviously, I'd want to get one for myself, turn it on, and let it run and run and run to confirm that it does do as he says. But I did see it run, and I did see there was nothing inside of it that could account for the power that was being shown, even for a short period of time. All there was a little circuit board. And then the flash and the bulb and the switch, and that's all that you could see inside of the clear cover. So I actually ended up being that they had a conference that I was going to be attending on the 21st of September, and I missed the entire conference. I was 40 minutes late, but I was able to come in afterwards and get kind of a people's take on what had happened. And they had announced in the conference that people who had pre-ordered 5 kilowatt systems. Now, just for the audience that might not know how much 5 kilowatts is, if you had a battery backup system, you could easily run pretty much any house on 5 kilowatts. That would be more than enough to handle the load of most Western homes. And that's including, you know, when you have the air conditioners on, everything during the hot summer months. Of course, 5 kilowatts doesn't come close to covering your peak. That's why I said you'd have a battery system. With 5 kilowatts, that would be more than enough to power a home. And so he said that anyone who had pre-ordered the 5 kilowatt systems could expect delivery of those in December of this year. And that alone, if that's true, would bump them up presently in the present lineup, would put them in number one position, that alone. Now, let me tell you what else they claim. They started as a space company. Anything that you need for a space mission, they want to be able to handle. When you're in space, you need propulsion. You need energy. You need food. You need water. You need health to be able to take care of any issues that might come up on the inhabitants of the space mission. And he claims that their plasma technology that is involved in their energy generation and their anti-gravity technology and their health technology and their food technology, where they basically transform one element into another element to create water, to create food on demand, kind of like a 3D printer almost. Mm-hmm. They claim to have all these technologies in various stages of development adequate to support a space mission. That's huge. I mean, it's kind of like saying we've shown up from the Star Trek Enterprise and we're here to tell you we've got it and we're ready to go.
That's right. When we talked with Mehran Keshe in June 2011 last year, he mentioned that they were, you know, currently scheduling this a moon trip program for about 2016 or 17. And then looking on from that, eventually travels to Mars. And I mean, these are big claims, and I'm not the one who believe it at first hand. But as you said, Sterling, innocent until proven guilty, I guess. But again, we'll just have to monitor and keep looking at this and see where the claims develop, right?
They claimed that one of the embodiments of the technology was manifest last December in Iran, when a U.S. drone was captured and landed without the drones have a self-destruct mechanism that if something happens to them, they self-destroy so that you don't, it doesn't, the technology doesn't end up in enemy hands. Well, it didn't self-destroy. The signal was shut off. They were able to capture this thing and land it without a scratch. And they show pictures of it in their hangar with their little flags and their people standing by it. He said that was his technology that they, in an interview I did with him about a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. he said basically they came up with their craft, enlarged their gravitational field, took in the craft, and then landed it. And that was his technology. And he, I asked the question of him when I visited with him, I can't remember if it was a month and a half ago or at the end of this conference. I asked him, do you have anyone who knows what you know about this technology who could carry on the work without you if something were to happen to you? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, there's 20 to 30,000 Iranian scientists who know how to do this.
Yeah, because this is based on the idea that Iran developed a so-called UFO a while back, and this was Keshe's technology, his inventions, basically, that this was based on. We haven't seen anything from that since, as far as I'm concerned. I know that the Daily Mail published a kind of almost jokingly an article about this, about Iran's development of this. But, yeah, what do you think about it?
Well, it's a huge claim, and it does explain to a certain extent why there's so much drum rolling about going to war with Iran, because basically Iran is making, if they truly have this technology, they're making all Western tech weaponry obsolete and ineffectual against them, so that anything that we lob their way, they can either return to sender if it's live and has to detonate, or just land it safely without it going off, or use it, you know, put it in their own stockpile without it being detonated,
right,
or sending it off into space. But most likely, if it's a live weapon, they would just return to sender. That's what he claims will happen.
Right.
And it's not like, I mean, he's Iranian, that's his nationality, but it's not like he's pro-Iran. He wants this technology to be made available to all nations of the earth, including the United States, and that this will basically make war obsolete, because when you have no offensive capability, because any offensive weapons can be neutralized through defensive capabilities, then you're much closer to peace. And he is in process of deploying this and training people in Africa and elsewhere how to use this technology. He had several seminars where he had heads of nations come in and get trained about how to use this technology, or about the coming and the emergence of this technology, to give them a heads up. And now he's basically opening it up as kind of a first-come, first-serve basis. And I know NASA's interested. I got emails from NASA saying, you know, they raise their hands saying, we're interested. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's interesting. It's certainly interesting. And I've not yet seen anything that tells me he's a fraud. While I was there, he showed me some confidential documents that he couldn't publish. From last year, for example, when they were supposed to do a demonstration of a technology, the day before the demonstration, the Belgian police showed up and confiscated all their stuff.
Okay.
And he showed me all the documentation from that confiscation, the police papers, the reports, etc.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Huh. And if we, okay, so that's the kind of the far out claims, you know, in the future that where things are heading to. If we
and
go back,
they claim that in December, on December 14th, I believe, they're going to have 5,000 people in an auditorium to be able to see a demonstration of the technology. So mm-hmm. apparently they've figured out a way to get around the suppression, and they're planning on a demonstration of the technology.
Right. And he claims some of the, a few of the astronauts allegedly were going to show up to this event as well, correct?
Yeah, he actually showed me a letter, an email from one of the astronauts. I can't give you the name of the astronaut, but I can confirm that he did confirm that he would attend. It turns out later, though, that he had forgotten about a conflict in his schedule, and he will not be able to attend that particular astronaut.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, so that's pretty cool. And will that be in Belgium then, or
yeah.
Will this, yeah. All right.
And that's KeshiFoundation.com is their website.
And the 5 kilowatt generators that you mentioned before, I think when we had Keshi with us, he mentioned that he had, 10,000 or so available, I think, for pre-orders. And did he say anything?
Well, he had up to 10,000 able to order. I don't know if that many orders came in.
Okay, yeah. But again, then, just to reiterate that point, these are expected to be delivered December of this year, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I should, after all this stuff about this technology, this is number 7 in our top 5.
And it would be higher, of course, if this was...
Absolutely. It would be number 1 once we get validation.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's incredibly interesting. I mean, he's out there. He's talking about it. And yeah, we'll see.
And he's got an amazing team. They've got a facility. They've got a really nice building where they do the conferences. And they're one of the most, I think, convincing things about them is what is going on health-wise. They have people coming in with MS and other... very serious illnesses, cancer, and they're walking away basically healed or cured from those ailments.
That's right. He told us that as well. And as far as I understood it, I tried to get this out of him, if you will. But I believe a lot of the money for this is coming from himself, I guess. Not too much of other donors from outside. Maybe at this stage it is, but to set things up and get started in the beginning, as far as I understood it, it was primarily him who was behind the funding for all of this.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with that, but...
Because that would be an interesting point, that's all I'm saying, of who's behind the money of starting up all these things. But nonetheless, as we've said here, there's extraordinary claims here, and we'll keep monitoring this, of course, and see how it develops. But in the meantime, we'll wait for those kind of initial smaller devices and things to come, to come available, and we'll go from there, basically, see what happens.
Okay. The next one in our top 5, moving up the list, is Akoil, A-K-O-I-L. It's a company out of Russia, and I was really keen to go visit. They have a villa in Europe, supposedly, that is being powered by their technology, supposedly pulling energy from the ether, A-E-T-H-E-E-R, not two E's, T-H-E-R is the last part of the spelling of ether, and in wanting to go see their technology, they said, before I'll even tell you where we are or give you the permission to come in, I want you to give me a $1 million at least bank statement as evidence that you're a serious player, not just a curious onlooker ready to purchase or license the technology. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get that in time. And by the time I finally came up with a bank statement from an associate who I would be representing on their behalf to go and see this villa, mm-hmm, that's being powered by this technology, he was already off on an international trip and was unavailable. And so I had to postpone that. He is planning on going commercial in 2013. They have, with their licensees and manufacturers, they are ready to start cranking these things out. And so they're looking for customers and licensees right now. And if you fit the criteria that I just described, then, feel free to contact them. They do have the contact information on their website, linked from our coverage page about them. I tried to go again because I'm coming to the New Energy Movement, Breakthrough Energy Movement conference there in Holland on November 9th through 11th. I was said, hey, I'm going to be over there again. Might we be able to hook up? And he said, patience, I'll tell you when I'm going to be going to Europe and I'll invite you to come over. And he also asked me to give him a description of what we planned on doing, whether as a customer or as a licensee, what our intentions were. So basically, that's where things are hanging with them. But I tell you that story because this isn't something I was able to see, but I think the story about what I could have seen was quite interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, all right. What would it mean? Did you get any clarification of being a licensee in this case? What would that mean? Does that mean that you could... reproduce that technology, basically, then, or what?
I don't know yet. I need, you know, he sends his correspondence in Russia. I run it through Google Translate. I give my reply, run it through Google Translate, and things are lost in the translation. And their literature's all in Russian as well. So it's a little bit challenging to, you know, it's not a 100% clear translation. Sometimes you're not quite sure what it is they're saying or what they mean. I'm in process of asking those kinds of questions.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see. That's interesting though. And this was there was a villa in Europe though, that where this is demonstrated, right?
Correct. Okay. Where a villa that presently is being run on the technology continuously.
Okay.
A place that you can stay and witness firsthand in the room that you're staying in, the facility you're staying in is being powered by the technology. Mm. The reason that they're not higher on the list is because, you know, obviously we haven't validated it, and nor do we have a feel for the price point. Because just because you have free energy doesn't mean it's going to be practical. I mean, you can hook up electrodes to a tree and power your computer, your calculator.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough voltage and current from a tree, or even from a rock. But that's not practical because you're not going to be able to carry the tree around with you or the rock around with you.
Right.
And it's a lot of infrastructure for a little bit of power. And so just because something works doesn't mean that it's going to be in our top five. It has to be practical. It needs to have a good price point. Don't have a feel for their price point yet. So they could be above Keshe for a time because the price point's really good, or they could be below Keshe for a time because the price point's not as good as his.
Well, that's what I like. I just want to say that's what I like about your top five list, Sterling, because it's constantly changing and moving. It's like you're watching a 100-meter race, but in slow motion on a much bigger, yeah, you know, contest here, basically. And you're monitoring of who is in the lead and who's going to be on the run-up and actually finishing and winning the gold medal here. If I think we're going to get there pretty soon. I hope so, anyway. So it's a good list. It's interesting in that way because it keeps on changing.
Yeah, it is very dynamic. And one of the things that is a little bit challenging about it is, to a certain extent right now, it's kind of my list. I do have advisors that I bounce things off of in coming up with the determinations. But in the future, I'd like to have it be, have a stronger set of bylaws and principles of why things are in the top. And that it's not just one person's perspective, it's a group or a quorum decision. And eventually I even see it going into a public listing where people can actually vote on their favorite technology. They can review based on their credentials and their knowledge. They would have a higher or lower ranking on how they vote for technology. But the public would actually have the ability to chime in.
Yeah.
And watch, kind of adopt the technology and watch their technology move up and down in the list.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So should we move up to number four?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep
five.
Moving. Yeah.
Storn, Storn, was a visit in Ireland, Dublin. This is a story, very interesting story. We could take a couple of hours on this, but we'll have to condense it down. You may remember this company because they made a big cannonball splash back in 2005-ish. They did a full-page ad in The Economist saying, "We have discovered free energy. We've got the solution to the energy problems of the planet." Remember that?
No, actually, I don't. Tell us more about it.
Okay. Yeah, they made a really big cannonball splash. They were featured in Yahoo News and Discovery, and you know, they were in a lot of mainstream media, kind of poking the it was a bit of a tongue in cheek kind of thing, like, well, yeah, right, but this is interesting. And then they were supposed to do a demonstration of the technology 2 or 3 months after that. And in their announcement, they said, "What we're doing, we've discovered a free energy technology." And this is a technology company. This is a well-established company that does fraud prevention. You take your ATM, and what happens is, as you're putting your card in, there's gadgets you can put on the ATM that actually reads the card as it's going in, and you can then take that card information and use it for fraud.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so their technology could take a before and after shot of an ATM and detect when something had been tampered with. And this would then be reported to the local police, who could then show up and remove the apparatus and maybe apprehend the people who put it there. And the problem is this technology takes a lot of energy, and it's actually still in practice. He actually took me to an ATM went by an ATM there in Dublin where their technology is presently in operation. Microsoft actually is using a variation of the technology in some of their applications. And so this is a well-established company. The problem is that when you're doing this, it takes a lot of energy. These are energy-hungry devices. And so the police were having to go recharge the batteries every 6 hours, and that's kind of a pain in the neck. So it'd be nice if we had some kind of a distributed energy solution. Solar wind is nice, but it's not as reliable. I mean, you have some problems. It's expensive. And so they were looking for something a little more exotic, and they were playing around, and they came up with some interesting stuff. And that's when they did their full-page announcement in the news that they had come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
And they challenged the world community, the scientists, to come up with a jury of peers to test their technology and to validate it, to basically say, yep, it works like they said. Meanwhile, they had a little demonstration of an all-magnet motor variation of the technology in Dublin with webcams, views from all sides, and it was a total flop. It didn't work.
Mm.
It was Murphy's Law kicked in. They had all the drum rolls, and nothing happened.
Mm.
And so that was a big setback for them. And then the jury came out and said, we're not really convinced that there's something here. About the same time, they did another demonstration. They rented the waterways facility in Dublin, and it's a really nice building out on the river there, and they had it for 3 months, 1 month to get ready for the demonstration, 1 month for the demonstration, again with webcams from all angles showing an electromagnetic version of this, and then another month they just kicked around because they enjoyed it. It was such a nice place. They kind of set up office there for a little while before moving back to where they're at now. Anyway, that demonstration was lackluster. It was interesting, had some interesting data, but wasn't nearly as exciting as what they kind of built it up to be. And then they started a forum where people could discuss, and they brought people under NDA to basically learn about how this works, and to kind of like a confidential open source project. And then they came up with a solid-state version, no moving parts of this technology. And they had problems with heat. Things were heating up. And trying to work around that, come up with solutions. Finally, they said, well, heat can be good. So let's go with heat. Let's see if we can amplify or augment the heat mm-hmm. phenomena.
Yeah.
They did, and they came up with what they call HEPA heat, H-E-P-H-A, heat, is the name of the product line, and basically it flashes water to steam instantly, and then you take the steam, you run it through a heat exchanger, and you take cold water into hot water at whatever ratio you want. So if you want 40 degree water, you do it in ratio, it gives you 40. If you want 60 and 100 are the three major market in the electric hot water heating market. And they started courting the electric heat, hot water heater companies, and they set as a criteria that they didn't want anyone that didn't have more than 30% of the global market share. Okay. So they're going for the big players. And they did a demonstration to the two largest companies in the world. I could give you the name of the U.S. company. I don't know about the European company. It didn't ring a bell for me because I'm not European. I'm American. But the U.S. company is a household name. Everyone, I would say 95% of Americans of the age 12 or older have heard of this name before. They went to their demonstration. 12 scientists signed off on it, and they're under contract. This was actually published in the local paper that they're under a 25 million euro contract, each company, each of these two companies, with Stjorn to bring these technologies to market. Now, these are huge companies with a very slow turn radius. As he says, super tankers don't turn quickly.
Right, yeah.
And so we're talking about 15 months before they go to market, 16 months back when I was talking, did an interview with them. And this is, you know, they have to do their certifications, their testing, their engineering, not in that order. Engineering comes first, and then your testing, then your certifications. That's typical, but then they also have to work up all their marketing materials. And, you know, this is a big company that affects basically a lot of their product line. So now we're talking about a water heater technology, electric water heater, that would cost about the same as what it's replacing, but it would use 1/5 the amount of electricity, because energy is not coming from the electricity. The main source of energy is coming from the environment. Basically, the electricity from the wall is just running the circuitry, and then you're heating up this water. And that's the major energy consumption in your home is hot water heating.
So this could be used in a number of different ways. Again, running a turbine like the nuclear power plants does.
Right. And their strategy basically is, once they vindicate themselves, because they've been, their name has been dragged through the mud so horribly because of what I just described, their history. They basically need to vindicate themselves. And once they're vindicated by being able to say, yeah, you happen to have one in your kitchen right now. So it's not a matter of does it work. It's a matter of it definitely works. Now let's license this technology out to the myriad of other applications, electricity generation, transportation, locomotives, et cetera. Then there's a whole bunch of other sizes and shapes and scales of this technology. And one of the first things they would target would be cell phones. You would have a cell phone that doesn't run out of batteries because it's using this technology.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's pretty big claims. How hopeful are you about this? But we would have to wait then until these two big companies, the European one and the American one, are ready to release something. But that would be... Would that be specifically about heating water then for your, a house product that you heat your water with? Is that correct?
That's their first targeted market. That's where they would get vindicated. And then it would be all the myriad of other applications. But the reason that I've got them in number four is because I saw their, under confidentiality, he showed me a copy of the contract. And I saw the signatures, I saw the terms. This is real. They're not making this up. I gave a little tour of their facility, amateur video, showed you that they've got a really nice conference room. It's huge. It's probably about 10 times the size of most conference rooms.
And you can't say the names of these companies?
No, this is Stjorn.
No, but I mean the two that has licenses, the American and the European one.
Yeah, that's confidential. They don't want any publicity. Yep. In fact, when they go to market, they don't even want the name Stjorn and HEPA Heat associated with the product. It's not going to be like Intel Inside on your computer where it gives the name of the source of the microprocessor.
Right.
You know, they will be able to, as a company, say our technology is employed there, but they're... It's not something that the companies, as a matter of because of the reputation Stjorn's gotten to, that's a reputation hit on the company. So basically, they'll just have these super efficient water heaters.
Wow. Well, that's pretty exciting as well. There's a lot of exciting things here. Good developments. Now that you said 15-16 months, and when was that? How long ago? So when do you think we can begin expect hearing something about this?
I would guess we may get a trickle of news as certain milestones are reached over time. Mm-hmm. But we probably won't hear anything on them until they make their big cannonball splash of announcing product. And when the company starts making the announcement about going, you know, that this new product line is now available. That's when the big news will go out. But they will, Storm will let media come in and visit them. They're not opposed to that. They started it. They tried to get media coverage. Now they don't really want it, but they won't resist it. So we could go in with our reality show, for example, and do a little segment there. And that actually could be a pretty big splash when we do that.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting. By the way, before we take a short break here, we're going to do that in a few minutes here. Is there anything more you want to say about that, the reality show, and how far ahead in the plans that is? Is that pretty much ready to go, or what's next there?
Sure. I was approached by a guy named Scott Bales, who does Underground Bunkers on Discovery Channel. It's a reality show produced by Pyramid Films. And we did a radio interview together about 3 months ago. Hit it off really well, kind of eye to eye on our worldview of what's coming down, what the need for renewable energy solutions. And about a month later, we got to talking, and they just kind of slapped their forehead, said, "Yeah, we should have you come on and do a reality show." So they got their, basically they're pulling together all the material needed to do this. They've got to get the bios, episode proposals, and get this all worked up into a promotional package to send to the networks to then sell to the networks. And so that's a process that takes a little bit of time. From what I understand, we're probably looking at January soonest. That's, they go on a quarterly cycle in terms of the programming, so that would be probably be the soonest that we would start going on. But there is a small possibility that there could be some fighting over us and we could go on before that. I would hope that we could get on before the end of the year, because the sooner we can get the news about these breakthrough technologies out there, the more we can address the angst that people have about the economic meltdown. And these technologies emerging can provide the hope that people need to get out of the depression they're in because of the economic collapse that the world's going into right now by design of the powers that be, who are trying to turn us all into slaves.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. It's a good assessment of the situation, I think. And this would be also be then your list effectively here, in a sense, could be turned into an active one, so to speak, where you can actually, well, you'd probably be getting the resources to travel around, maybe even to some of the things you've, places you haven't been yet, to be able to monitor, get interviews with these people. And you have, a TV production company behind you, meaning even some companies might be more willing, maybe a few less, I guess, but most, I think, would be welcoming this and maybe open up their doors a little bit and let you in, right?
Yeah, these guys have like 10 people in their production crew. They've got their own jet. So it wouldn't be a matter of, you know, getting on planes for everyone. It'd be a matter of getting on their jet, flying to whatever destination, doing a 3 weeks of shooting, and then they would probably do 3 or 4 episodes at once, and then they would do the production on it. And I'm guessing, from what I understand, we're looking at possibly as much as one episode a week.
Yeah. No, that's good.
There's definitely enough content, I can tell you that.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of things happening around on this area. And as you know, a lot of them haven't even gotten the attention that they want at this point. So maybe even a few of them would, come out openly and want to be a part of the show because they have something to show, practically.
Yeah, and we would have the ability, we would have personnel as part of the show to do the screening on the myriad of people that we'll be hearing from, saying, "Hey, I've got a technology, come see mine."
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. Congratulations on that. I hope it develops well and that it begins moving along there soon. Definitely. Nice.
Yeah. On the last stop on this trip to Europe was in Boulder, Colorado. I went to a company television filming for 2 episodes on a show that they were doing about free energy technologies. And one of the producers there used to work for History Channel, and he said, "If this other company doesn't go through with you for some reason, we would be interested in doing it with you."
Yeah, it's about time, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's taken a long time for any of this remotely to actually begin talking about this on this kind of level. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all timing. It, you know, as the powers that be are, you know, taking full control and being very boisterous about their and obnoxious about their tyranny and just flaunting it. They're so corrupt, and it's like they're untouchable. They can do anything they want, and they'll never get caught. They'll never go to jail. They'll never see any consequences, and their days are numbered. And yep. The emergence of these free energy technologies will empower people both with hope and with technology to be able to not be dependent on the powers that be anymore and be able to basically stick it to the man, so to speak, and render them obsolete so that they can then be empowered, do what they love, as opposed to working for the man, doing what they hate as slaves. And when you do what you love, you're 6 times as productive when you do what you hate. So imagine the transformation of society as these technologies come forward, along with the spiritual transformation that will be required. It's not just a technology revolution that we need. We also need a spiritual awakening.
I agree. I definitely agree. Now, before we take a break here then, Sterling, let's talk about your website and give out all the information that you want to give out, pretending to how people can follow this, obviously, and track the news, and also, I guess, about the series and everything, if that goes ahead as planned. This is something you'll let your readers and audience know about on the website. But go ahead and give us the different URLs on the websites that you have, Sterling.
Okay. The easiest one to remember is freeenergynews.com. Freeenergynews.com. That forwards you over to PezWiki.com, which is the Wikipedia of free energy. Pez stands for Pure Energy Systems. And so that's the best domain to remember, freeenergynews.com. That's both our news and directory, both the stories we write as well as the links that we give you to other stories that have been written from around the planet.
All right, very good. That's the website. We're going to have that up on redicecreations.com as well. And then again, the conference in Holland here in November now coming up, globalbem.com. That's Global Breakthrough Energy Movement. So globalbem.com. And check that out. Sterling will be there together with a lot of other great guests as well. And hopefully there will be some development on some of the items and some of the anticipation, of course, on free energy. So do check that out. We're going to have that linked up as well, of course. All right, Sterling, we'll take a short break here at this point. We'll return with much more in a little bit. So stay with us. continue with the second hour for all our members to discuss the top three contenders on the top five exotic free energy technologies list. Sterling shares some exciting details about the number one pick, which is very secretive, but it's simple and it can be made with off-the-shelf components. And apparently it's very easy to build. And this is something that Sterling has seen for himself. He also talks about an up-and-coming reality show reviewing clean energy devices and is going to have Sterling as the co-host. Alan also talks about his trip to Lausanne in Switzerland, a university there where he got a chance to see one of the world's few tokamak fusion reactors. Stay with us to hear more if you're not yet a member and considering signing up to get full access to our archives and our entire members' website. You can do so by going to redicemembers.com and click on sign up. You can choose from a 3-month recurring subscription, or we have several one-time payments going from 3 months up to 2 years for you, whatever suits your needs. You can comment on the programs, check out our RSS feeds. It's so convenient to get the program straight into your iTunes or Beyond Pod for Android or Downcast if you're on an iPhone or an iPad. We also now have developed a members mobile website, and this is an app that you simply can add to your home screen as a shortcut, and of course listen or watch to any of our content right there. All the information, more help, instructions, and our FAQ is on redicemembers.com. We have some great guests and interesting programs coming up for you. First of all, Richard Grove, a 9/11 insider trading whistleblower, a continuation with our program together with Mark Gaffney. After this, we have Mike Cross, Seth Farber and Paul Levy, Nick Begich, Dean Clifford, Kent Bain and Chris Milligan, Carol Sabek de la Heron. This is on Robert Monroe and consciousness technologies. We also have a roundtable with Scott Onstott, Dan Tatman and Kevin McMahon coming up. And after this, George Cavassalas, Troy McLaughlin, Randy Powell and also David Icke coming on the program soon. Thank you for listening. Get a membership. Don't miss out. We'll talk to you after the break.